Franklin Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 9, 2014. Faxed into three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in the Clinton Township School. Faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Ms. Spitzer, may we please have a roll call?
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin? Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
And Mrs. Verderamo?
Here.
Mrs. Sturgis, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Freda, would you serve as the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Sure.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Clinton Township Board of Education meeting. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2014, and this is a regular monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. I have a couple of updates for this meeting, for the evening. The first update is on the budget. The preliminary budget that the board voted to send for review to the Executive County Superintendent on March 10th was in fact sent to the Executive County Superintendent on Thursday of last week. Mrs. Spitzer and Dr. Clark will be waiting to hear from Dr. Veronica regarding the submitted budget. If there are no changes to the submitted budget required by the Executive County Superintendent, then the board will meet on April 28th at the public budget hearing to receive feedback from the members of the community on the budget and then vote on the budget. Quarterly board task. If I could bring attention to the pack of papers that I handed out to the board members before the meeting had started, I've developed a document that serves as a very high-level list of projects that the board as a whole, our committees, and our administration are working on for 2014. This list also includes tasks that are required to be completed by the state during this year. In essence, this is really our business plan at a high level for this year. The document lists a particular task you'll see in the first column. It then identifies a responsible group, the quarter that it is planned to be completed by, and a space that identifies when the actual date of the task was completed. Tasks are targeted for completion by a particular quarter, and there are some projects you'll see on this list that are ongoing. Q1 designates a start of January 1 for us because that's when our reorg begins. This is a living document that will be updated throughout the year on a necessary basis. Tasks may be added, but none will be removed. Board members will be notified when a change in the document has occurred, and at that time, board members will receive a new copy of the task list. Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, and Mrs. McLaughlin, as Vice President of the Board, have all reviewed this list and provided input and additional information. If any of the board members should have any comments or suggestions on how to make this document better for us to use as a source of information to help us keep on task with the projects we have, I'd welcome your comments and your feedback, and I can make those changes pretty quickly. This document's already, I printed it out and recognized we were going to have to make some changes to it. The NJSBA may be coming to the board to conduct an informative session on how to perform the evaluation for our superintendent, as well as to help the board understand how to do a board self-evaluation. So those two items, when appropriate, will be put on this, and again, I will notify you when the document changes. I have comments, and I have to apologize. They are a little long this evening regarding full-day kindergarten. At our March 17th meeting, we had parents from our district address the board regarding their desire for a full-day kindergarten program. They shared with the board that they would like for this program to be implemented in the fall of 2014. Parents also raised questions specifically about the prior history of the Clinton Township Board of Education's involvement and investigation of a full-day kindergarten program. After the meeting on March 17th, I felt that more details should be provided to the public regarding the past history of the board investigation, of the Board of Education's investigation of a full-day kindergarten program, a chronology of events surrounding the potential implementation of this program, and the reasons why it has not been implemented as of yet. The need for additional information for the public was further substantiated this week. During the week, several board members were asked additional questions regarding a full-day kindergarten program in Clinton Township from members of our community. To ensure that questions and comments were addressed properly tonight, I had the pleasure of listening to all the audio of both meetings on December 19th, 2011, and January 23rd, 2012, last week. Both meetings included very thorough discussions by the board regarding a presentation on full-day kindergarten and the potential implementation of that particular program. I'd like to provide right now a summary of those two meetings and a chronology of events surrounding that topic of full-day kindergarten, and then try to provide some clarity to any questions or perceptions that may exist. First, I'd like to begin with the meeting on December 19th, 2011. It was a Board of Education meeting, a monthly meeting that was regularly scheduled. The concept of full-day kindergarten in Clinton Township was first brought to the Board of Education during this meeting on December 19th in 2011 by a former superintendent of the school district. The investigation of a full-day kindergarten program was not a board initiative or directive. The board also understood that kindergarten is not a mandated program by the state. During that meeting, Mrs. Goad made a very good presentation on a full-day kindergarten program and the benefits that it has for children. That evening, the superintendent of that time proposed that the new full-day kindergarten program would be fully funded by the revenue generated by school choice. At that time, the CSA was still researching effective class sizes, staffing needs, future enrollments, etc. We had a lengthy public comment section that night. Some parents spoke in favor of full-day kindergarten. Some parents were on the fence with it. Some were totally against it. Teachers from the district supported it. Parents were concerned about the ratio of school choice students admitted to full-day kindergarten in the ratio between school choice students and our own Clinton Township kindergarten students. There were community members that didn't have children in our district who also voiced their opposition to this program. Parents also asked the board why we would consider another program when we need to properly fund many of the programs that were cut over the course of years of failed budgets. A resolution to accept a full-day kindergarten program was not on the agenda that evening. I move along to a January 23rd meeting, 2012. Action item 12PC-28. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves a full-day kindergarten program at Spruce Run for the 2012-13 school year. As I mentioned before, this action item was not initiative or directive by the board. During that evening, there was an extensive, very long discussion and a very detailed conversation by the board regarding the proposal made by the CSA. After that lengthy discussion, the action item for a full-day kindergarten program was tabled by the members of the Board of Education for many reasons. The president at the time of the school board committed to discuss the establishment of an ad hoc committee to review full-day kindergarten with the chairperson of the Policy and Curriculum Committee at an appropriate time. Now, there were five major reasons that this item was tabled that evening. First, the cost of the program. The projected cost that was provided to the board to run the full-day kindergarten was $778,000, with an estimated cost of $250,000. This price tag was way beyond the reach of the Board of Education at that time. The second reason, school choice. Using school choice's funding model to support a full-day kindergarten program. It was proposed that we fund a full-day kindergarten program with the revenue from school choice. The board did not want to fund the full-day kindergarten program through the use of school choice funds because of the unpredictability of the funding source from the state. The board recognized that this recommended funding source presented a huge risk to the district. If Trenton decided not to fund school choice after the district implemented a full-day kindergarten program, then the district would have to choose between dropping the program altogether or raising the taxpayers' money, raising the taxpayers' taxes a considerable amount. School choice. The Board of Education wanted to make sure that before we implemented any further large programs in our district, we wanted a plan surrounding school choice. And at that particular time, there wasn't a plan. The fourth reason, district's priority. A series of failed budgets prior to this discussion on full-day kindergarten eliminated many services and supports that current students within our district needed. The board was starting to see a decline in student achievement as a result of the loss of many academic support programs. The board felt that the priority should be the children that already are enrolled in the district who needed support programs reinstated in order to positively impact student achievement. A full-day kindergarten program was not a standalone decision for the Board of Education. It was part of a hierarchy of decisions we needed to make for the district as a whole. And the last reason, the last major reason, that evening the board made it very clear that the Board of Education wanted a set of districts' needs to be assessed and identified. We wanted to know where a full-day kindergarten program fell within all the other needs that the district had. The board has stayed true to addressing those five items prior to evaluating a full-day kindergarten program in our district. Soon after that meeting on the 23rd of January, the district had a new superintendent of schools. Dr. Clark evaluated the district needs and set priorities and created plans to address those needs with full support of the board. Programs and support services focus on our current children and have been reinstated and or added. Building security and maintenance items are being addressed and state mandates are being implemented. And school choice now has a plan. The interest in full-day kindergarten was not forgotten by the school board. In November of 2014, the topic of full-day kindergarten was on the agenda for the Policy and Curriculum Committee. The committee, at the conclusion of that meeting, recommended to the board president that an ad hoc committee be established to evaluate aspects of a full-day kindergarten program to the district. On November 18th, right before Thanksgiving, and just a few days after the policy and curriculum meeting, a full-day kindergarten ad hoc committee was established at that board meeting. The ad hoc committee consists of members of the community, two members of the Board of Education, district teachers, administrators, and our business administrator. The first meeting of the ad hoc committee after the November 18th meeting was on December 4th. This committee has met no less than 10 times since December, despite all of the challenging weather and vacations that have fallen from that point until now. The ad hoc committee is focusing on all aspects of implementing a full-day kindergarten program, and it is effectively working. So this is how the Board of Education has gotten to where we are with the full-day kindergarten program today. Now, there are some questions that the members of this Board of Education have been asked continually over the last few weeks regarding full-day kindergarten. I just wanted to take a few of them and then provide some answers so that I might be able to clarify some questions here that we have. The first question is, why do we need so many surveys regarding a full-day kindergarten program? The reason why we need surveys in general is we need to learn what the public wants and what the public doesn't want. And I believe that the board has only sent out one survey regarding full-day kindergarten program. The other survey may have come 2 years, 2.5 years ago from the former CSA. So those are the only two that I am currently aware of. The second question is, if the governor will most likely mandate a full-day kindergarten program in the near future, then why do you need a demographic study? What will this tell us? We are not sure if the governor will mandate full-day kindergarten or not. However, if he does or doesn't, we still need to have our arms wrapped around what the costs are going to be on a year-by-year basis, at least for the next 5 to 7 years. We need to project our costs relative to staffing, support needs, facilities, food service, busing, etc. The demographic study will help us understand how big the school will be or not be, and how many students we'll have, and that'll help us get our arms around our costs. The third question is, isn't the budget a yearly process that could change year to year? So why do we need to know how many people will be in full-day kindergarten for the next 5 years? What does that have to do with full day? Again, it all comes back to being able to project our costs relative to staffing, support needs, facilities, food service, and busing. I only have two more questions. The Board of Ed keeps mentioning the budget. Do we not know how much the increase will be yet? And our answer is no, we don't. Once the demography study is completed, then we can proceed to doing a cost analysis that would include the startup costs associated with the program, and we'll be able to project out 5 to 7 years what those costs will be. And the last question, if we're laying off teachers, then how many could be reused if reused in a full-day kindergarten program when we need to increase teachers? Well, first, we're not laying off any teachers, okay? And secondly, teachers have already been repurposed through retirements. I don't know if you want to address that at all.
I think that what we're doing is, right now, I want to be clear, we're working on staffing as we speak, and so it looks like we will be able to repurpose most teachers that we would have to be laying off due to the retirements and different issues in the district. But I can't say for certain that there will be absolutely no layoffs. There might be one or two RIFs within the district. So I don't want to make a promise that I can't keep at this time.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So in summary, the board has made a commitment to make decisions of any magnitude, whether it's large or small, only after all the necessary information required to make that decision has been gathered and shared. Once we have all that information, the BOE is committed to engaging the public. We will have a public hearing specifically to solicit feedback from the public on the potential for implementing a full-day kindergarten program. After we've gathered all the necessary information and the public has shared with us their thoughts, the board will have a discussion and a vote on whether or not to implement a full-day kindergarten program in Clinton Township. So I hope that this summary provides you with some valuable information on the background of where we've been with investigation of full-day kindergarten and where we are going investigating the program in the future at Clinton Township. So I'd like to move on to report the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you all tonight. I'd like to begin by introducing one of our wonderful principals, Melissa Goad, and one of our teachers, Jennifer Collette, and another teacher, Ellen Sidberry, who are going to do a presentation for the board on Legos.
Thank you, Dr. Clark, and thank you, Board of Education members. Good evening, everyone. It's so great to see so many people out in the audience tonight. Glad to have students here and parents and teachers. We're here to talk about an exciting program that we have going on at Spruce Run School right now. We all know that most children love Legos, but at Spruce Run, we're taking that to a whole new level by bringing Legos to life. We've been very fortunate to have received a grant that was very generously funded by the Clinton Township Foundation for Educational Excellence, and that has enabled us to bring the Lego We Do Robotics program to our kindergartners and first graders at Spruce Run. What's really exciting about this project is it focuses on developing skills, STEM skills, science, technology, engineering, and math, within the programming that we're doing. Children are participating in this cross-curricular program that allows them to learn about, construct, and then bring to life their Lego models. We're especially excited that all of our kindergarten and first grade students will have the opportunity to experience this program, thanks to the efforts of Mrs. Collette and Mrs. Sidbury, and to our teachers who are supporting the programs in the classroom. Rather than having me tell you about it, we wanted to actually have our students show you about our Lego grant. It's a little late at night, though, for most of our first graders to come out, so we've actually created a video to share with you, which we're very excited to show you. I will tell you in advance that this video was filmed over the course of a few weeks, so you will see Mrs. Snee wearing a cape in the video because it was Superhero Day at Spruce Run School. You will see Mrs. Sidbury decorated with 100 polka dots for Hundreds Day, and you will also see one of our students dressed up for St. Patrick's Day, so it's over the course of time. Before I show you the video, I would again like to thank Mrs. Collette and Mrs. Sidbury for being here this evening and for supporting, for first of all writing the grant and for supporting the program. Mrs. Snee is also here this evening, and she was one of the first classes to participate in it. Right now, all of our first graders are participating, and we'll have two sessions, and then we'll move on to have the kindergartners experience it as well. So, Lego, we do robotics.
Are you ready?
Yes!
I don't think you're ready.
Yes! Yes!
Now, what was that thing we called?
You don't know me, but my name's Sai. I'm just the old head.
Okay, now
guy.
Listen carefully.
But it seems
you are going
like
to carefully. We partners should have a 2x2.
So I say, let it go.
My name is Dan.
And my name is Rose.
Our son Wesley kind of glows. And that's not good, so I suppose we should let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow.
Look at
and maybe change my point of view.
Hey, Jonesy, what's going on here? What are you building, my man? What about you, boy?
What's your fastest?
Yes.
I'm ready.
All right, so I'm just here to tell you guys that this is like a motor. Miss Colette taught us how to do motors and all. And this is a cord, and the cord goes right into a computer. And when it turns right here, there's stuff that goes like this and just turns it like that. And we programmed these to make noises, and they turned around. They just made chirping things.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but Legos are really fun, and it's sometimes hard to build them, but this time it was easy.
How are you doing, Anna? What are you building?
An axle.
They made lots of noises because I put everything random.
And
I made
this whole thing, and look at the table. The belt is going to move. This one will move, and then the belt will control this. And this will plug into the computer, and the belt will move.
It made a lot of difference.
You know why you're in your seats?
And the birds, they're not on right now, but they made spinning. They were spinning.
We plug in the
We hooked it up to the computer, and we made it move.
So when I did Lego robotics, it was very cool. So I made my own bird and made it go like tweet.
There's a on a big screen that we saw the instructions on that we followed that, and then we didn't do like the bottom of it. We only did like the little birdies on top.
The birds, but they already made this part, so we're gonna build the little chips.
I love the Legos because I never knew there were Legos out there that can go onto a computer, and we built a robot. And it was not really a robot, but it's like robots can be anything. That can be like a boat robot, maybe, that can do stuff, something like that. They were super duper fun. It's just super fun.
Thank you.
You don't know me. But my name's...
So again, we're very grateful to the foundation for funding this grant, to our teachers for supporting it, and a special thank you to Mr. Ruttenberg, who made the video for us. He's our in-house cinematographer, so thank you again.
I would just like to say that thank you, Mrs. Goad, and teachers, for bringing this to the board tonight. Part of what we're trying to do at our board meetings is to have different grade levels come and show us things that are going on in our schools, because each of the board members gets to see things that their own children are doing, or grandchildren, but they don't get to see everything that's going on in the breadth of four different school buildings. And so we thought that this would be a good idea to give you an idea of things that are going on. And I just want to say about the Lego robotics in particular, we talk a lot about PARC lately and getting our children ready for technology and testing online. Well, some people might think that that's just sitting in front of a computer and practicing certain things over and over. But playing these games, utilizing the computer for different types of tasks and different types of higher order thinking, children explaining what they learned and how they're doing it so they can teach someone else is a higher order thinking skill and moves them to a different level. And so this is another way to get at getting them ready for the technology of the future. And so I'm thrilled that our teachers put in this grant. I think it's a great activity for the mind, and it's fun too. So thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Goad, Mrs. Collette.
Okay, so now on to our regular business of the superintendent at board meetings. Our enrollment report, we're holding steady at 1558. We have zero suspensions. In terms of HIB, harassment, intimidation, bullying report, we had two investigations at Spruce Run School determined not to be HIV. We had four investigations at Round Valley School, one determined to be HIV. We had three investigations at the middle school, one was determined to be HIV. Now, tonight we have something a little bit different that we have to add in. There's a bit of a twist in the law and reporting. If you remember last year, we did do a grade report. We did an assessment of how we were doing in terms of harassment, intimidation, bullying. But now we have to do a little bit more detail this year. And so Mrs. Goad is just going to take you through that process so you'll know what's being reported, how we did in the schools, how we were graded, how we self-assessed, and what the process is. So, Mrs. Goad?
So I will just briefly walk you through what you'll have in front of you. And for those of you in the audience, I projected up on the screen what I'll be talking through very briefly. As you may recall, the district implemented, beginning in the 2011-2012 school year in September, the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. Our district has been working diligently to implement the requirements of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights during this time, and we remain committed to ensuring that we're providing all of our students with a safe environment that's free from harassment, intimidation, and bullying. As you may recall, there was a provision that was in the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights that required the Department of Ed to develop a program to grade the schools and the districts on how well they're addressing bullying in the school environment. The Department of Ed last year created a 20-page self-assessment that the school safety teams in each building worked together with building administrators to complete, and each school self-assessed how well we met the requirements of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. Mrs. Hammond did a presentation for you in the summer, I believe, that discussed what we submitted. But what the self-assessment did was really measure the schools and districts' adherence to the anti-bullying law from January 5th, 2011 through June 30th, 2013. Each school was given a rubric that we rated ourselves within eight categories that included programs that prevent harassment, intimidation and bullying, staff training, student curriculum and instruction, staffing, and reporting and investigation procedures. And as you may have seen in the news lately, those grade reports were very recently released. We received our copy in early March and have it up on the website now. And I'd like to go over for you what those scores mean and how it impacts how we're moving forward within our district. Each school's grade is a raw score from 0 to 75, and it's very important to note that that's not meant to correlate to a percentage grade. They're really focusing on the fact that these are just raw scores for each school, and then the average score is of all the schools is the district score. So the raw score for each school and the average score for the district reflect the school and school district's degree of compliance with the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act, and that was determined through each school's self-assessment that we completed last spring. This is just an overview, and on the last page of the packets that the board members have, it actually shows the report that was released. This is very similar to what Ms. Hammond shared with you in the summertime, but you can see that each of our schools did very well, and we have an overall district score of 68. So what do these numbers mean to us? We want to make use of the information that's provided. So in looking back, we found that during the first 2 years, we've made a lot of progress in addressing and improving our approach to harassment, intimidation, and bullying within the schools. We've really capitalized upon our positive school climate and culture that we already have. We're very fortunate to have started from a positive place. And we've been able to refine and enhance our approaches within our schools. Staff were trained to identify, report, and address HIV behaviors in a timely fashion and in accordance with the legislation. We've communicated expectations to students and maintained a consistent approach to supporting our students. Programs and training throughout the district and each school also established a commitment and a sustained approach to creating a safe school environment and maintaining a safe school environment. And our school safety teams that are functioning within each building have used this as an opportunity to again reflect and refine our existing protocols and our programs. We were able to identify some strengths, as noted, through the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights self-assessment. We've had a strength in establishment of HIV programs. We have very effective and fun and positive Week of Respect activities within our schools. We have ongoing age-appropriate HIV curriculum and instruction. We've worked to train staff and bring new staff in and train them. Our anti-bullying specialists have worked closely with me as the anti-bullying coordinator and with Ms. Hammond as the previous coordinator to train and to collaborate together. And we also have strengths in our reporting procedures and our adherence to the 10-day time frame, which is required. We also did note some areas in which we will continue to focus. We're going to be looking at compiling and analyzing longitudinal data so that we can continue to look for patterns and other ways that we can work to prevent future situations from occurring. We'll be continuing to develop long-range training for all parties. And we also will continue to review our annual assessments of our programs, our approaches, and our initiatives to ensure that we're utilizing best practices and that we're utilizing any approaches that are most effective for our children in our different schools. So in summary, we are expecting to do another self-assessment this spring. I was actually at a workshop on Friday afternoon, and they said it is coming, just not yet, so we can look forward to that in our schools, our 20-page assessments that we'll be doing. We'll continue, as we always do, to work together to improving our maintenance of a positive, safe, and happy school environment for all of our students, and we'll continue our commitment to meeting and exceeding the expectations that are set forth in the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. Thank you.
So, do the board members have any questions of Ms. Spode about this presentation?
Yes, how do we compare with other school districts? Is there any data shared in that regard?
Everyone's scores were released, but we haven't actually done a lot of comparison yet, but that's part of what we like to do, too, to ensure that we're having comparable scores or better. And if we have other districts who are local who are having better scores in certain areas, too, we'd like to find out what they're doing and collaborating in that way as well.
Is there a concern for Patrick McGarren and the Clinton Township Middle School being 66, 67 compared to 70 for the other two? Or
I don't think so. I think overall we've scored very well, and we'll use those as areas that we'll continue to work to refine. But we haven't identified significant concerns in any of the schools.
Mrs. Goat, I was thinking about the fact that we have to put these scores on the website. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a good idea to also give this to put this on the website with those scores so that parents can look at this explanation and maybe have a better understanding of what those scores mean.
Sure, I can put this
so
PowerPoint up.
So if you could send that to us so that we can get it up.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Scott? No? Okay. I'm seeking a motion then for action item 14-SU-012.
So moved.
Second.
Dan, and then Rachel. Any other questions?
Yes, for Dr. Cole. I guess we're talking about HIV reports. Are we seeing with these investigations a a decrease in investigations, or a steady, or an increase? I guess I should, I don't know if it was for Principal Goh to jump in, but where do we stand as far as how we're turning along with these investigations, which are cumbersome in themselves?
They are cumbersome. They take a long time to complete. I haven't looked at the numbers in comparison to last year. Have you had a chance to look at them?
I haven't compared it to last year, but we've remained about steady in each school because it's, I think it's comparable to last year. Our district's current interpretation of the legislation is that any time the word bullying is used, we investigate. And each building that provides its own unique set of challenges as well. So we look into every possible situation to ensure that our students are in a safe environment.
I guess the catch-22 trying to get this down, the numbers, right? Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Any other questions? No? Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Batuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
I want to make one change in order, if we can, to the agenda this evening. Before we get to the public comment section, I would just like to do the report from the business administrator and then move forward with the public comment section. So, Mrs. Spitzer, could you give your report, please?
Our next Board of Education meeting will be held here on April 28th at 7:30. That will be the regular board meeting in the business of the Board of Education, as well as the public hearing to adopt the final budget based on review from the county office and a recommendation from the finance committee. Before you tonight are the minutes for February 24th, March 10th, and March 17th, as well as an executive session on February the 24th. There is also completed the January 31st secretaries and treasurer's reports, along with the transfers that coincide with that. That's all.
That's it. Any, let's do it this way. Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. Can I have a motion for 14BA 22 through 14BA 25, please?
So moved.
Kevin Loy. Second, please.
Sure. I'll second.
Megan, Mrs. Verderamo. Any questions?
Yes. In looking over the minutes, March 10th and 17th, they reference the presentations that were made. Could we also attach copies of those presentations? Primarily because just having looked at 2 months or listened to 2 months worth of audio, it would be nice to have some substantive data behind that. And right now it just has an identifier that Dr. Clark and Heather made a presentation.
Anything else? Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Regarding action item 022, I will abstain on March 17th, 2014. I was not present. Yes to everything else.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
On BA 022 for March 17th, I have to abstain on that one as I wasn't present, and yes to all remaining.
Mrs. Verderamo.
On BA 022, I have to abstain from March 17th and the executive session on February 24th. But the rest are yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
I'm going to abstain on 14BA 022 for the executive session, but yes to the rest.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carries.
Very good. Moving on now, we will go to our first public comment section on agenda items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 35 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board on agenda items only? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on now to our public comment section of first recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline for the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name, address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
Lana Brennan, 21 Farm Drive, and I guess it should have been under agenda items, but I had a question on what was the previous, I guess the way it was written for the class size policy? What was, I'm trying to figure out what was changed versus what was put up. I know it used to be separated by, I think it used to be separated by grade level, because I feel that having the same amount of kids based in kindergarten to eighth grade, you don't necessarily, you can't necessarily just say, okay, well, we're going to have 25, whether it's kindergarten or eighth grade. There's a huge difference in teaching levels and other things. So I don't know what was changed because I can't tell if it was what it was before, but I just, you know, maybe we could reconsider and do it based on grade level, due to the fact that it is different learning and, you know, with younger kids, 25 is actually a very high number. You know, I understand it's probably still under the state or whatever it is, whatever you guys are basing that on, but you know, that was just a high cap that I saw and didn't like that it was the same for across the board. So, thank you.
Dr. Clark, would you like to address that question, please?
Absolutely. The class size policy was not separated by grade level previously. There are some districts that do that, Clinton Township does not. So there is a kind of number at the top. 25 is when, if you go to 25, we have to notify the board that we're doing that or going over that number. Same thing with the number 15 at the low end of the scale. So that really wasn't changed in the policy. There were some additional pieces added in about being aware of the size of the classroom, the space limitations, facilities issues, state law regarding requirements for class size in terms of special education requirements, those kinds of things, and making sure that we abided by all of those regulations. In the strategic plan, the district and the board has been looking at the class size, and I believe it's been stated here a number of times that they like to keep, the lower grades a little bit smaller than the upper grades, because as you said, there is a difference between primary grades and older elementary.